Our scripture this morning is from Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 21. This is the word of the Lord. And in the same region there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And an angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. When they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told them. And at the end of 8 days, when he was circumcised, he was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. Father, we do come this morning to give you praise and glory, and we pray that you would open our ears and our hearts to receive your word this morning. And that in the midst of bad news, that we would rest in and rejoice in this good news of the birth of Jesus. And we pray this in his name. Amen. Amen. Be seated. It's great to be with you this morning. If you have a Bible, open up to Luke chapter 2. If you don't have a Bible, there should be a Bible somewhere near you, underneath one of the seats in front of you. Page 857, you'll find the book of Luke. If you're unfamiliar, it's in the New Testament, it's kind of the second half of the Bible. It's the third book in Matthew, Mark, and then Luke. And chapter 2, and then you'll see the verse numbers, will be there in 8 through 21. I wonder, as you come this morning, do you need some good news in your life? Amen. We need good news, don't we? That's where I expect lots more amens to that. Y'all are shy. I think we need good news, don't we? We need good news in our life because there's so much bad news. Now, ever since sin entered the world, there's always been bad news. But now it seems that we have the opportunity that we can access bad news, not just in our little town, but in the country and any place around the world at any time, we can find out where there's bad news happening. We can just be inundated with bad news after bad news. But it's not just the bad news that's out there. It's also bad news that we deal with in our own life, struggles, trials, difficulties that we face. There's struggles with our children that are just hard to walk through. There's terminal illness that is just wreaking havoc in people's lives. There's job struggles, the loss of jobs. There's car troubles. There's sin causing problems in relationships. There's loved ones that have died or are dying. There's people dealing with worry and anxiety and panic attacks. There's addictions, and the list goes on and on and on. It's not just that there's bad news out there, but there can be so much bad news in our own lives, so difficult to navigate and to manage. Even in the midst of the bad news, we hear good news sometimes, but it's hard to hear it, really. It's hard to receive it because you're just waiting for the next piece of bad news to come. At least it can feel that way for me. Well, this morning I have some encouragement for you. This is all about good news. This announcement to these shepherds is all about good news. And it was good news in the past. It's good news today. And it will continue to be good news forever and ever and ever. And so the fact that we need some good news in the midst of all the bad news we face, we're in the right place this morning in Luke chapter 2. We've entitled our little Advent series, these few weeks leading up to Christmas, Good News of Great Joy. And it comes right here from verse 10. Fear not, the angels say to the shepherds, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Well, what is the good news? What is the good news? In the simplest terms we can say it, it's that Jesus was born. In the broadest terms, it's the gospel of Jesus Christ. That word translated here in Luke 2, good news, is this verb. The angel is bringing good news. Other places in the scriptures, good news, it's actually the same root word, and in the noun form, it's most often translated gospel, meaning good news. The gospel is good news. So this good news is not just about a baby being born, oh, that's wonderful news, but it's who the baby is and who this baby Jesus becomes and what he will do as he grows up, that he is God in the flesh, that he has come from heaven to live the life we couldn't live, to then take on our sin upon himself, pay the penalty we deserved, going to the cross, suffering and dying, being buried in the grave, and being raised on the third day. And if we trust in him taking our sin upon himself, then we can be forgiven, made right with God, and then we have the right to become the children of God, brought into his family. That's the good news. That's the big good news that this passage is all about and that Christmas is all about. But underneath that, there's all these layers of good news. It's good news after good news after good news. Now, this morning, we don't have time to go into every one that I discovered as I study it. So you're going to have some homework to do if you want. Go in and find all the ways, all the little details in here that are part of the good news. But this morning, I just want to highlight 5 points that I think remind us of how good this good news actually is. First, it's that the announcement of the good news is made to shepherds. Now think today, if you had good news that you needed to get out, you wanted to get the word out, how would you do that? You would most likely choose a celebrity. Maybe you'd go to a news channel, but you'd probably choose a celebrity, or even more likely, you'd choose an influencer. An influencer, for those that you don't know, they're influencers because they're influencers somehow. I don't know how it really works, but people watch them and see what they do, and so they're influential. And so now there's a title, influencer. So if you needed to get word out about whatever it is, you would hire an influencer who would then do this massive campaign and social media and beyond and make sure everybody knew, right? You find somebody that has a voice in the culture that others will listen to. Well, here, God doesn't choose an influential person. Instead, God chooses these shepherds. The shepherds were your run-of-the-mill, ordinary, normal, average, poor people. In fact, in many circles, they were viewed as outcasts, as ignored, not even worthy to be paid attention to. And yet, these are the people that God comes to bring this message of good news. Why is it good news that the shepherds get this announcement? I think it's good news because it's a picture that this good news, this gospel of Jesus Christ, is going to be for everybody. It's going to be for everybody. And we see it even in the scripture. Look in verse 10. The angel says, this good news will be for all the people. And I think that word all means all. It means everybody. This is for anybody. Everybody. And then in verse 11, the angel even says to them, unto you this baby has been born. The angel doesn't say, hey, there's a baby that was born in Bethlehem, go check it out. He says to the shepherds, unto you this baby was born. See, this announcement to these shepherds of this good news is good news because it's a reminder to us that Jesus is for everyone. That there's nobody left out. That if you want to believe in Jesus for the forgiveness of your sins, then you are welcome. You are welcome. Anybody can come. And because this is true of the gospel, then that means the church becomes this place where everybody can come, centered on Christ, forgiven by Christ, redeemed by Christ, and changed by Christ. See, this gospel is for the poor, but it's also for the rich. This gospel is for those who are influential in the world and those who are ignored in the world. This gospel is for the well-dressed and the not-so-well-dressed. This gospel is for those who have PhDs and those who dropped out of high school. This gospel is for women and men, adults and children, the elderly and teenagers, anyone who trusts in Christ. This is good news. It's an open invitation to believe. And it starts with the shepherds. They're just normal, average people. And yet God chooses to bring them the message that there's a baby born. Well, that's good news. I hope it's good news to you. But there's even more about this proclamation of this good news. Second is that an angel, and then later angels, are the one who bring this good news. It's not just a mail carrier, a courier. God sends an angel to announce that this baby has been born. Now, when we get into angels, there's mystery, right? There's a lot of mystery with angels, and there's some things in the Bible we know about angels. There's a lot we don't know. So you can study it if you want, but the point here is not to run down that rabbit trail too long. It's just to sit and rest in the fact that God sent this angel who was created by God, is a created being, who's made to worship and serve God, that God would send this angel to the shepherds to announce this good news. Why is that so important? I think it's so important because it reveals that the good news of the birth of Jesus is not just for us here on earth. This is cosmic. This is the heavens and the earth. Everything is involved. All of creation is involved in the announcement and the working out of this good news of the gospel. Again, I think it's a picture of the fact that if you have come to faith in Christ, then in some way, angels were involved in that process. Now, that sounds maybe strange, but I have a Bible verse that tells us it's true. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 14. The writer says, "And they," and he means angels by that, "are they not all ministering spirits sent out to serve for the sake of those who are to inherit salvation?" Now, how does that work? I don't know. I've never seen an angel. I didn't hear angels singing over me when I trusted in Christ. But somehow, just like in the shepherds, angels were involved in the process of my own salvation. And if you're in Christ, the same is true of you. It means that God is doing everything to bring this good news to us and so that we could hear it and believe it and receive it. This is good news. Even in verse 13, it's not just that one angel shows up to announce it. Then what happens? A multitude of the heavenly host shows up to these shepherds. Multitude of the heavenly host. Host just means a lot. It's a whole lot of angels that show up to sing praises and glory to God and announce peace. Now again, I haven't visibly seen angels. I've never seen a host of angels. But we get a couple times in the scriptures where we see it, and it's just amazing to think that God is at work through his angelic beings to bring the message of good news for those of us who would trust in Christ. He even showed us in the Old Testament this picture of angels at work in the lives of God's people. In 2 Kings chapter 6, Israel is surrounded by the king of Syria and the army, and it looks like there's no hope for Israel. And there's this young servant of Elisha the prophet that sees the situation and thinks, "We are toast," as my interpretation. He didn't say that, but we're done. We have no chance to win this battle. And Elisha prays and says, "God, let him see. Let the servant see the truth." And all of a sudden, this servant looks out, and this is what the scriptures say. He saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. God had his heavenly host, his heavenly army, ready to go to battle, and Israel turns out to be just fine. See, God is at work in this supernatural way to bring about the proclamation of the good news of the gospel, and even for you, if you've trusted in Christ, his angels were a part of that process. That's good news. It's good news. But then we have to figure out who is this good news really about. Well, it's about Jesus, the Savior, the Christ, and the Lord. Look in verse 11 again, third point. The angel says, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord." Jesus is the Savior. Now, to be a Savior means somebody needs to be rescued or delivered from harm's way or from their enemies. And we even saw last week in Luke chapter 1 with Zechariah as his mouth is opened by God after Zechariah's son John is born. Zechariah goes into this beautiful song of praise to God. And in verse 69, he says that God is raising up a horn of salvation. And in verse 71, that they're going to receive salvation from their enemies. And as Jim pointed out, likely at first glance, they're thinking, yes, all our enemies around us, we're going to be saved. That Zechariah's son is going to proclaim that the one is coming and he's going to save us. But then in verse 77, he says that the saving is going to be for the forgiveness of sins. It's going to be for the forgiveness of sins. See, this is the mission of the Savior. It's to save God's people from their greatest enemy, sin, which separates them from him. And the Bible tells us that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Every single one of us has sinned against God. That means that every one of us needs a Savior. And the good news is that this baby who was born and the shepherd saw is the Savior. He will grow up and he will die on the cross to pay for our sins, to save us as we trust in him. But he's not just the Savior, he's also Christ. This is a title. Some people think it is first and last name, Jesus Christ. It's not his last name. It's a title given to him. And it comes from this word Messiah, which was a word a lot of people, again, aren't familiar with. Messiah was the title given to the one that God would send to save his people. The anointed one is how you could think about it. And all throughout the scriptures, there are people that God anoints, and that just means to set them apart for some special role that they have in his kingdom. But here, the Messiah is the anointed one, capital A, capital O. He is the anointed one that is coming, promised in the Old Testament, coming to save the people from their enemy, sin, ultimately. And Jesus is the Messiah. It's why the angel says that it's happening in the city of David. It's happening in the city of David because there was this promise back in 1 and 2 Samuel that David, as he became king, God made a covenant with David that on the throne will always be somebody from your lineage. And Jesus is in the family of David. And so here he is, the promised one to come. All the Old Testament points to this moment that the Messiah would show up, and the angel says to the shepherds, here he is. From Genesis, the seed of the woman, all the way till now, he's the fulfillment of the promise of the Messiah to come. He is the Christ. So he's the Savior, he's the Christ, and he's the Lord. Now, this is where things get off for some people. They go a little different, because most people don't have a problem with baby Jesus. And most people probably don't even have a real problem that Jesus is a Savior at some level or that he's a Messiah. But now he's the Lord. That's when people go, hold on. Does that mean that Jesus has all authority in the world and over my life? Yes. It's exactly what it means. And the angels say to the shepherd, yes, he's the Savior. Yes, he's the Christ, but he's the Lord. He is the sovereign one. He is God come in the flesh, and he has all authority over everything. He's been given all of that authority in this baby. He is the Lord. That has significant consequences for us. That it's not just a nice little story. That this baby is going to save us. He's the promised one. And then he is my authority. He's my Lord. He's the King of kings and the Lord of lords. And so in this baby who is announced as the Lord is this call to obedience, that we are going to obey this little one who will grow up, but who is God in the flesh. He is Savior. He's Christ. He's Lord. These are words that are thrown out at Christmas all the time. We sing them in songs, and it's so easy to just say them and move past them. But this is mind-blowing, to think that this little baby is the Savior, is the Christ, and is the Lord. Dane Ortlund describes the good news of the baby being born in this way. He said it's like a quiet explosion onto human history of the longed-for new age in which God would bring to fulfillment the promise of heaven on earth. I love that phrase, a quiet explosion. Most people didn't have any idea that Jesus was born at the time. It's a select few that hear the announcement. It's quiet at some level, yet it is this explosion, heaven coming to earth to save us from our sins as the Christ and the Lord. This is who the shepherds are going to see. It's good news. And what will this Savior, Christ, and Lord do? He brings peace. Look in verse 14. And on earth, peace among those with whom he is pleased. Now, much of the bad news, when we thought about that, much of the bad news is bad news around the world. There's a lot of conflicts. There's wars. There's violence. The shedding of blood all around the world. And it's devastating. And we pray and we long for peace. And we should keep praying and longing for peace. An end to the violence. An end to the killing. We want peace. And peace is a prominent theme even at Christmas. But this promise of peace, this guarantee of peace, is not in the moment for world peace. It's not what it means. That there will all of a sudden be peace in the world. We know that isn't true because there is not peace in the world. World peace is going to come. One day, the baby who was born in the manger, one day he is going to come back as the conquering king. And he will wipe away all sin and evil, and he will bring perfect and complete justice. And then there will be peace. So this peace is not that yet. But there still is this offering of peace. And what is it? Who is it for? Well, look again. It's for those with whom he, meaning God, is pleased. Listen to two other translations of this. It's peace on earth to all whom God favors. Another translation, on earth, peace on whom his favor rests. It means that for someone to trust in Christ, to believe that Jesus is the Savior and Lord, that they will then find peace. That God loves them, that God saved them. He poured out his grace and mercy on them in Christ. And it's in their trusting in Christ and being made right with God and adopted in God's family that they will find peace. It means the fear of seeing God and being under his wrath is gone because his wrath has been poured on Christ. It means the fear of living in this world filled with bad news and hard things and difficulty. We no longer need to live in that kind of fear. We can actually be at rest. We can be at ease. And in fact, we can flourish in the world. That's what the peace that comes with Christ means. It's not just wishful thinking. This peace is a promise. It's a guarantee for those who are in Christ. If Jesus is the Lord and he has sovereign control over all things and he conquered sin and death, then we really can be at peace in the midst of all the hard things we face, all the bad news we face. We can be at peace. Jesus said it this way in John 16:33, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation or trouble. Another amen, right? We will have tribulation and trouble in the world. But Jesus says, take heart, I have overcome the world. Do you need peace? Do you need peace? Is your soul troubled in some way? Is anxiety ruling over your life? Is fear ruling over your life? Is worry controlling you? Are you unsettled at some level? Well, peace is possible, and it comes by trusting in and resting in Jesus. It's in Him, the Savior, the Christ, the Lord, that there is peace available here and now, and that's good news. Last point for this morning is that God gets all the glory. Christmas is a time that we can easily get lost in the hustle and bustle and the details. There's lots that goes on. Decorating, making cookies, wrapping gifts, scheduling the family picture. Oof. That's a tough one sometimes, right? I love the authentic ones where the kid's looking away. I love those, right? But it's hard. It's hard, right? We got to think about, when are we going to get together with all the family? How do we align all those calendars in such a perfect way that everyone will show up and we'll have enough food and everybody will be happy and delighted? And there's a lot that goes on in Christmas. And if we're not careful, we can lose sight of what Christmas is ultimately about. And ultimately, in the end, it is about God and His glory. To imagine that God would send this announcement by His angels to ordinary, sinful people that salvation has come, that God would plan before the foundation of the world, that He would send His Son, the Messiah, to save us from our sins, means He deserves praise and glory. Just look at even how this passage is laid out, beginning, middle, and end. In verse 9, as the angel comes and announces to the shepherds, the scriptures say that the glory of the Lord shone around them. I don't know what that looked like, but it was glorious. It was amazing. God's glory shows up in some visible way to these shepherds so that they would get the sense this is about God. And then in verse 13, when the host of angels comes, what do? They praise God by saying, glory to God in the highest. They worship God for this good news that has come. And then in verse 20, after the shepherds go and they see everything that the angel said they would see, they leave. And one of the things they do is they leave in verse 20, glorifying and praising God. See, that's in this passage because Christmas is God's story. It's His story. It's not our story. It's not for us. Ultimately, it's for Him and His glory that He would leave heaven so that we could be saved and be with Him in His heaven. That's the good news of the gospel. See, if we turn Christmas into us, then crazy things happen. I saw this TV show. I didn't watch the show. I saw the title of it. And it's called The Great Christmas Light Fight. Sounds very Christmassy, doesn't it? Apparently, it's just people living next to each other, and they battle it out who has the better lights. See, if you make Christmas about you, it gets a little lost. That's not really the point, right? You can put up lights. It's fine. But the point is that God has shown light in darkness. That in the darkness of all the bad news around us, this light shines. And it's the light of the gospel of the glory of Jesus Christ that God sends to give us the knowledge of Himself and salvation in Christ. In the end, the good news that's announced to these shepherds that they witness with their own eyes points us up to give glory and praise to God for what He has done. So here's this good news. What do we do with the good news? How do we leave here reading this good news? Well, I think there's three responses even in our passage that we could leave with. The first is in verse 17 and 20. In verse 17, it says, the shepherds, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And then in verse 20, the shepherds returned glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen. What did the shepherds do after they saw with their own eyes that this good news was true? They made known what had happened. They made known what they heard and what they saw. They made known. They told other people about the good news. So one of the things we respond with is we think about ways in which God might use us to proclaim the good news, to tell others that the Savior, the Christ, the Lord has been born. And perhaps you'll have time with family, and some of those family might not know Christ. And so maybe there's a response, like the shepherds, to give glory to God by making known to others what He's done for you. The second is to respond like those who heard the good news. Look in verse 18. All who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. They wondered. That word wonder, it doesn't mean that they all believed. It means that they heard the shepherds say that there is this baby and He is the Messiah, the promised one. He's going to save you from your sins and He's the Lord. And they wondered at it. It means it was so shocking, so amazing, so out of the ordinary that they had to keep thinking about it. They had to keep investigating. They had to keep wondering, is this really true? And so if you're here and you're not a Christian and you have yet to trust in Christ, this is my encouragement to you. Will you continue to wonder at this good news? Will you continue to ask good questions? Will you investigate the Scriptures? Will you talk to a friend? Will you keep wondering? Jesus said, as we seek the truth will set us free. We believe the truth is this good news, that Jesus has come to save you. And so if you're not there yet, will you keep wondering? And for some, it's the last response. It's Mary's response in verse 19. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. Pondering them. That pondering does mean that she believes. I mean, how could she not believe at this point? An angel told her she would have a child. She'd never been with a man. She got pregnant. And then she gives birth to this baby, and these shepherds show up and say, hey, an angel told us you'd be here at this time in this place. I think she's going to believe that this is the promised one from God. And yet she still ponders. And that pondering means she believes, but she's not sure how it's all going to play out. How is this going to continue? How is God going to continue to write this story of my son, Jesus? How's this going to work? And so she ponders, but she ponders in faith and belief. And I think for some of us, we need that. As we saw last week with Zechariah, sometimes it's hard to believe. We go through some doubts. But I think here an encouragement is, will you keep pondering? Will you believe it to be true and trust that God, over time, will begin to show you more and more of Himself through the Scriptures? Maybe it's a recommitment to dive in to the Word of God this coming year. But there's an encouragement here to ponder this good news. So as we leave, make it known. Wonder about it. Ponder it in your own heart. It's good news for all people that Jesus is born, and He's the Savior, the Christ, and the Lord. Father, we give You praise and glory. We thank You for the good news of the gospel and all the ways this story shows us layer upon layer of good news. Would You cement it in our hearts? Would You help us to make known this good news to those who will listen? For some of us, Father, would You help us to wonder, to investigate, to think, to ask questions? And would You lead them to trust and belief in Jesus? And for all the rest of us, would You help us to keep pondering, to not get lost in the details of day-to-day Christmas celebrations, but to ponder what Christmas is all about, your story of salvation, by sending your Son, the Lord Jesus, so that one day he would die for us and we could be forgiven of our sins. We give you all the praise and the glory that is due your name. Amen.